This teaching comes to you from the team at Anchor Church Sydney. We hope you're blessed by it. For more teachings, resources, or info, check out our website, www.anchorchurch.com.au.
Kathy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what GC you're in, what you do during the week, your family, that kind of stuff.
Hey, so I'm Kathy. If I haven't met you before, it's lovely to meet you. So I've been coming to Anchor now for about 3.5 years since I was out at the Hive Bar. And I live out in the Hills District. I live with my mum and my brother. So coming to Anchor, I mean, it's a bit of a travel, but that's okay. We've kind of made it work. So you might not always see me at GC or here on a Sunday, especially because of my work. So I'm a social worker and I work at a house with adults who have disabilities. And that's kind of how I fill my time, week to week.
Great. And you've been here since basically core team days.
Yeah, wow.
What do you do with yourself? Oh, no, you told us what you do with yourself during the week. How did you come to faith?
Yeah, so growing up, as I said, my brother, who I live with at home, he has a pretty severe disability. So he's has cerebral palsy. And so growing up, that was just my life. That was a normal part of my life. But what I really saw was the love of God through my parents and how they loved him and how they loved the community around them. So growing up, I would always see my dad. Every single morning, he'd be out at his dining table with his Bible, reading the Word. And on the way to school, he would annoy the heck out of me, telling me what he'd learnt every single day, something new, something different, something challenging. And as like a kid, it was great, but obviously I didn't really understand all that he was talking about. I just knew that this guy was on about something really cool and he loved it, but I just didn't really understand it. And at any party, he would do the same thing, grab the first person he saw, would tell them about God, and I'm like, this is weird. And the way that my mum lived, I explained her like the hands and feet of Jesus. Like, she just does the work of God. She loves people so much. And growing up in our household, every Christmas, our house would be full of complete strangers who would soon become friends because they'd just be people we would know or get to know over a year and would need somewhere just to feel loved and a family. The same with our household. We'd always have someone renting or living with us who needed somewhere to stay. And that way that my parents lived, I never really understood it until I was probably about age 10 or 11. My brother had just committed his life to God and had moved to this youth group. And I went there and I heard the gospel explained that actually I needed saving, that I was not good. I was sinful, but that God loved me and I was valuable. And I understood from then that what my parents were exhibiting wasn't a list of rules and a way to live. It was a relationship that actually changed the way they lived and changed their behavior to basically preached God through the way that they lived. From about age 10 or 11, that's when I really started to seek God for myself and actually started that relationship.
Praise God. Tell us what it was like growing up in the McNamara family. What was the dynamic like in your house?
So we grew up in like Western Sydney on a farm of like 36 acres next to my grandparents. So we just lived the country life. It was great. But apart from that, you know, we lived in like had a small church, down the corner, which we loved going to. And growing up, I had three older brothers. So my oldest is still in Sydney. My other brother's in America and is a pastor over there. And then I live with my brother and my mum. And as I said, my brother was born actually completely fine, I think, but he contracted meningitis at birth, which caused severe brain damage. So what happened was he actually developed cerebral palsy. And if you don't know what that is, it's just an umbrella term for kind of group of conditions that affect muscles. So basically your muscles would be quite cramped or quite stiff. You can't really control reflexes. So over time, your muscles kind of lose their ability to work properly. So my brother's quite cramped, and if you see him, he looks quite uncomfortable, actually, the way that he sits and moves around. Growing up, I mean, his condition is always going to get worse because of the way that it develops your muscles. You don't use them, they're actually going to deteriorate. So that's been really challenging, I guess, for my mum in particular. With the way that we grew up, I mean, the challenges really started probably in like 2003. So as I said before, my mum and my dad were this power couple team in loving Peter and my family. But in 2003, that's when my dad actually got diagnosed with pretty severe lung cancer. And at that time, it was just completely left wing because we'd always seen my dad as such a strong, confident man. And what was funny is he never changed. He was still so much more in love with God and so passionate about God more than ever before. The doctors gave him about 6 months to live, and by a miracle, he actually lived until 2007, so lived for 4 years. And in that time, never blamed God, never got angry at God, but realized that this actually isn't his home, and that his heaven is his home. Full relationship with God is his home. And I think that's where we really learned this whole journey of whether it be disability or sickness, that actually it's okay, because this is our is not our home, and we have something far greater in the future that we can live for. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what it's like for you, your siblings, your mum, caring for a brother that's quite disabled.
Yeah, absolutely. So for Peter, he can't do anything for himself. So he is in a wheelchair most of the day. If you think about being seated for about 12 to 14 hours a day with small moments of getting out of your seat, you can imagine how uncomfortable you would feel. But basically, that means that my mum needs to help him go to the toilet, shower him, dress him, feed him, chop up his food really small, make sure that he doesn't choke, make sure he's not too hot or too cold, takes him to his day program, picks him up. And in terms of social life, if we have family over or friends over, it's always going to be a bit of a laugh or a bit of an awkward situation, because my brother's quite loud. He's going to make sounds that no one really has heard before. And it's funny, because a lot of people go, oh my gosh, is he in pain? And you go, no, like, he's actually happy right now. Like, that's his happy sound. So it's quite different. It's just a different household, but for us, it's completely normal. I think that's what's been really a great conversation starter as well with a lot of friends, because some people don't understand that lifestyle. So it's really, yeah, it's a nice way to kind of, yeah, share a bit about us.
So as your family has walked through trial and difficulty, what have been some helpful and unhelpful things that Christians have said to you guys?
Yeah. It's a really good question. I think growing up, we went to a very heavy-based church where we were always about prayer for healing, which was awesome. And I love that, because I firmly believe that God can heal and does heal, and I've seen it in my real life. But I think what can be really harmful is when that the focus is to fix the disability, not to actually learn what God is teaching through your own life experience. And I think growing up, we never blamed God. Like I said before, I was never angry at God. And I was trying to work out why, because actually I think most people who go through any challenge, you feel like you have the right to, like, why is this happening, or why is it so much harder for us? And then I was reading a book by Michael Bates. It's called Disability in the Gospel. But he mentions a whole lot of different verses in the Bible and chapters where actually God uses people with very distinct disabilities to actually preach the word, to change the way that time saw God and to teach new things. And one verse that really stuck out to me was Exodus 4, and it's 10 to 12. And what it says is, "But Moses said to the Lord, 'O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?'" And so I think what I realized is that, okay, yes, I know that God is in control, but if he's in control, then that means through this verse, actually, he's made my brother and he's allowed my brother to experience this. He's allowed my father to go through that walk of sickness. What am I, like, what's his purpose? So I've changed the question of why do things happen to what is God's purpose in this? And seeing that in my family has completely changed the way that we live, to actually serve God and glorify God through what we do rather than complain or get down about that. So I think it can be unhelpful when people come to that perspective of let's just fix the disability, because actually whether God heals someone or not, that is going to happen in heaven regardless. So right now, let's just, like, our focus is looking at the purpose of what's in front of us right now.
So huge. What has God taught you personally in your faith journey as you've walked through this? What have you grown?
Yeah. weirdly enough, and I always get emotional about this, because I never wanted to work within the disability industry, because for me it was something that was way too personal, and it made me really angry to see that the way that this community group was getting treated in our world and in our city. And funnily enough, God has brought me completely full circle back to actually working full-time in this now, which that in itself has just been amazing to see how God will use your passions and your angers to actually work towards his glory. But I think fundamentally, what I challenge people to think of is that disability, how do I say it? Through the words of Michael Bates, the guy in this book that I was telling you about before, he kind of describes disability as it's one thing that lots of people feel really confronted by. And it's hard to explain why we feel confronted or why we feel awkward. And his philosophy is the fact that actually, in life, we can actually hide a lot of our issues. If we're lonely, we can try and hide that. If we're angry and proud, we can try and hide that. If we need community, we can try and be a bit prideful and say, no, we can do this. And especially living in Sydney in a Western individualized society, that's really easy to do. But disability, you can't hide from the fact that you need help. You actually need someone to help you. And the way that I see my mum love my brother is insane, because my brother doesn't, literally will not offer anything to my mum if you're looking at it from a Western individualized perspective. He can't offer anything, but my mum loves him unconditionally and will lay her life down for him. And the way that I see that is the way that God loves us so much. So we actually can't offer anything back. And he goes, no, I still love you. I'll still get into the valleys with you and honor you. And I think what has changed my life is when the people who have changed me the most is when I meet someone who does have a disability, say at my brother's day program. You can't communicate to them how you would communicate to anyone else. And you've got to work out how they think and how they communicate. It might be through tapping their foot a certain way or yelling a certain way. But what I love is that I look at that and I go, you know, you're just like me. You're actually in need. I'm in need. And that's what makes us fundamentally human, that we actually need Jesus. We need saving. And I do believe that everything that kind of happens here on earth is a reflection of what God is trying to communicate to us. So that's completely, yeah, changed my view around it. Yeah.
That's so huge. Thank you, Kathy, for sharing. I hope you guys are ministered to by that. It's quite incredible. Yeah, thank you. Kathy has a blog that you write about some of this stuff on. That's amazing. Yeah. What's it called?
Lovemoreoften.com.
WordPress. Anyway, maybe I'll post it on the family page. But read the blog. It's super helpful. Thank you, Kathy. I'm going to pray for Kathy and her family. Yeah, I'm kind of blown away. Thank you. It's so helpful. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for Kathy and for her family. I thank you for the way that they love you. I thank you for the way that they've modeled what it looks like to hold the tensions of the suffering that we encounter in this world and your sovereignty, and still walk through that season of difficulty clinging to your goodness and your grace. So we thank you for their example. We thank you for Kathy's story. Thank you for her mum. God, I pray that you would continue to use this family to be such a wonderful example, a model of what it looks like to love unconditionally and to model the gospel to everyone who gets to see. Father, I thank you for the way that you've worked in Kathy so powerfully to help her to see that the things that she's learnt growing up in her family have uniquely prepared her to work in the career that she's currently in. I pray that you'd continue to strengthen her and fill her with your spirit to continue to give and to love and to serve. I help her to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the people that she cares for and looks after every day. I pray that you would continue to teach her and shape her and grow her. Father, we have been so blessed and ministered to this morning by her story. And we pray, Father, that you'd help all of us to see that every single day we are indeed people of desperate need, and you have been the one who has cared for us. So we thank you that you have loved us unconditionally and provided for our deepest need in Jesus. God, we want to worship you and praise you this morning for that. And so we thank you for this story and the way that we've been encouraged, and for Kathy, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Let's thank Kathy for that. Wow.